It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Promised Land with me, Scott Saunders, talking all things Manchester United. Ruben Amorim has got his first win in charge of Manchester United, a 3-2 win over Bodo Glimt in the Europa League on Thursday night. And some good signs, some concerning signs, obviously, but, you know, we're starting to see something happen, which is all you could have asked for, really, within two matches, which is, It was a positive night, all in all. I think United did get caught out a couple of times, and there's some areas for concern. But wanting to come back on, if you're watching on YouTube, the sun is out. It's cold, but it's a lovely, lovely day. And I'm not sure how long we'll have the sun for. Maybe a couple of hours after I record this with the time of the year that we're at. But it's a bright day outside. It's a bright day for Man United. Some work to do, obviously. But we're getting right back into the swing of things now, and Ruben Amorim is learning things about his football team, using plenty of players, finding out what they're good at, finding out what they're not so good at, and that can only mean good things in the future, really. He's learning as he goes, he's making tweaks as he goes, and very, very positive all in all. Rasmus Højlund with two goals, and an assist, essentially, after chasing down the goalkeeper in the first 50 seconds, to essentially deliver a reminder that yes, Rasmus Højlund can actually score goals if he's used in the right manner. And that's exactly what happened against Bodø Glimt. But I'll be talking about that. I'll be looking ahead to Everton a little bit as well, answering a couple of your questions too. And let's get into it. This is The Promised Land on YouTube. Please subscribe to the channel if you've not done so already. The Promised Land and Manchester United podcast are also available on Apple and Spotify as well. Also, give me a follow on social media at @_ScottSaunders on Instagram, TikTok, and X. Also on Blue Sky as well. The link is in the description of that. ScottSaunders.bsky, I think. I can't remember, but the link is in the description if you're on there and you want to follow. I need to bring the followers up before I feel like I can post on there. So please do if you are on there and you'd like to. But yes, so look, it's been... things are going thick and fast for Ruben Amorim at the moment. There's no time to train, as he said, almost in every appearance that he's made so far. They're having to learn through video, through walkthroughs on the pitch, on the training pitch, inside the training center. And it's not the optimal scenario to pick up a new system, new demands from a new head coach. And it's difficult for some of the players, but I think there's more positives than negatives at the moment. We've got players returning from injury. We've obviously not seen Kobbie Mainoo yet actually come on and play a minute under Amorim, I don't think. Lenny Yoro, very close to a return, but not made the matchday squads. We've got Taro Malacia, who's back. Bit of a challenge for him, I think, and maybe I'll touch on that in a little bit. But Mason Mount back and making a good impression as well during his minutes on the pitch. We're seeing different players crop up in different positions with mixes in quality. We're seeing some new signings made in the summer showing what they're really good at, in the sense of Nusair Mazraoui has been an absolute bargain. Mamadou Ugarte showing against Bodo Glimt that, yeah, he knows what he's doing in this system and he can really offer something that United didn't have previously. And yeah, let's break it down, shall we? So it was not the most comfortable of nights, I've got to say, with the fact that United were caught out on a couple of occasions. I think that the 1v1 problem is going to be a problem until some players are replaced, really. United got off to a great start, obviously. And I think what we did see with that great start and throughout most of the game, really, was a lot. The energy levels were a lot bigger and a lot stronger and a lot better on Thursday night in comparison to what we saw in this first game on Sunday against Ipswich. Because what we saw was essentially Lichar Martinez back. Malacia and Anthony obviously started. But then I think from the midfield and right through kind of the middle of the pitch, really, I think we saw players who are much more able to get around the pitch. Like Bruno Fernandes, his legs have never been in question. His engine has never been in question. He was played in a deeper role in midfield alongside Manuel Ugarte. And instantly there, you see that those two versus Casemiro and Christian Eriksen, it probably offers you a bit more energy in midfield. You've got Anthony, who I think not many people really enjoyed his performance. I didn't think he was great by any means or good by any means, but what he does offer is, you know, a work rate, and he's pretty quick, got a good engine, he's quite tenacious, makes the wrong decision quite often, but you know, it is what it is. And then, you know, the players up front, Rasmus Højlund, Garnacho and Mason Mount, there's just a lot more energy and a lot more willingness in that front line to press and to run around the pitch than maybe we saw at the weekend. So that was one of the first things that really stood out to me, and I did tweet it as we were going through that game. That was, if you're not going to have more players like that, a lot of them, you know, younger players, obviously, known a little bit more for covering ground. And I think that is crucial and underpins any kind of system that Amorim wants to play. But although he has been very quick to say that the players' fitness levels are not at the right levels at the moment to be able to deal with all of the difficulties that come with the calendar like this. So he said that some of his changes had to be made a lot earlier than he usually would. I think maybe some look at it as being proactive, the fact that he made changes so early. But I think what Amorim was thinking was, look, I need these guys fresh for the matches to come. And I need these guys fresh because if I run them into the ground, they might not be around. And we need all of the squad at the moment. And speaking on that, Mike Mitchell, thanks for this, mate. Getting in touch with me on X this morning. He says, would like to hear your thoughts on Amorim's eagerness to rotate heavily. I think it's great to work out his best players, keep it high intensity in games, and prevent another injury crisis. It breeds a competitiveness and a teamwork too, and also helps if we need to sell. I completely agree with that. I really, really do. I think it's a necessity at the moment, because obviously Amorim hasn't had a preseason to look at the players on the training pitch and run through drills and run through match situations in a non-competitive environment. So he's having to learn on the fly. And the best way that he's going to be able to do that is to do the walkthroughs in training. But the best way is to look in match and give some instructions and see, right, this player is good at this, this player is good at that. But he's got a big squad there to work with. And now is the time, especially at the time of year, to give everyone a fair crack at showing that they can live with the system. Some will, some won't. And look, I think he's in that grace period as well, where I know United are really low down in the league and need to get up the table in the Europa League as well. But if things don't come off early on, he's got at least got that blanket of, like, he's barely had any time to train this team. And it's a case of having to learn on the job. And I'm not saying this season is a write-off, because it isn't, but he's going to have to learn these players and their shortcomings and what they're good at himself through on-pitch actions from the very beginning. And I think everybody understands that. And he's obviously been given a grace period as well because of the situation that he's come into. Look, United do have a lot of players who are, he says this a lot, international players. These are international players. So a lot of them should have, or most of them should have, the aptitude to be able to take on the instruction. It's just the physical ability might be where the problem is. And Mike says there, would like to hear your thoughts on Amorim's eagerness to rotate. Look, it's just necessity. It's just necessity. I think he has to do it. He can't, especially coming in and seeing a squad of players I'm guessing about 25. I can't remember exactly how many are in the actual squad, but he doesn't know any of them really personally, apart from the ones he's worked with before, like Ugarte. So yeah, he has to work out who his best players are. He has to work out what each player is good at. And as we saw in this game, he can make some tweaks in matches which actually affect the outcome of the match. But that's not to say that those tweaks in that match mean that he's veering away from what his philosophy is. So it's I think he's dealing well so far. He's self-admitting that he doesn't know, and he's a little bit anxious because he doesn't know what he's going to get. But I think that's natural and that's normal. When you are looking to win matches, you know, it's not the best thing, but that's the situation that he's accepted. That's the situation that he's come into. And that's the only way it can be done, really. Look, we've lived through United injury crises of the last few years, and having a ton of injuries isn't going to help anybody. So he needs to keep the team fresh. He needs to breed competitiveness, as you say there, and teamwork as well, and get a chance to understand which players he can bring on the journey with him long term and which players are not going to be able to go on the journey with him long term. Like you even see Casemiro, who's dropping into the central centre back position. Like that's in this three, I think that's something that could really be used and really be make a lot of sense, even if it is a bit of a short term fix, to keep players fresh and to keep players ticking over, and also to, you know, use everyone in the squad and make everyone feel included. So look, United aren't really going to be able to do anything. I'd be surprised if they do anything big in January. We all know their financial situation, so I would be really surprised. The big changes aren't really going to take place until next summer at the earliest. So there's a couple of positions that stand out to you straight away as being massive concerns or massive areas for improvement, but there's definitely some places in the team that are have potential to improve. Let's just say that. The midfield positions, we haven't even seen Kobbie Mainoo yet, as I just mentioned. There's loads of options in at number 10. I said the other day that I'd like to see Ahmad maybe play in one of those roles. But there's loads of options up front as well. And what I wanted to do today was really talk about Rasmus Højlund and maybe the system and how this can really benefit him. I did say before Amorim took over and when we were waiting for the confirmation of him taking over that I thought that Højlund could be one of the big ones to benefit here because of the qualities he shares with Viktor Gyökeres from Sporting. It's obviously quite a jump to say this player who's 21, 22 years old can emulate or has the qualities to emulate one of the most informed strikers in Europe at the moment. But look, Viktor Gyökeres was a few years ago playing for Brighton and not getting any minutes and playing for Coventry. And look, it's testament to what Amorim did to take Gyökeres to that level. You know, I'm not saying he did it himself, but because Gyökeres played absolutely brilliantly for Coventry and scored a lot of goals. But to the way that Amorim worked with him and got the best out of him in the system that he was using, like really sticks to the character and the characteristics of what Amorim can bring. So look, I see Rasmus Højlund. I think he's got all the essentials. I really do. And I think it was really good that the goals came about in the way that they did. And the fact that they fell to Højlund themselves, these chances fell to Højlund, and Højlund was the one to put them away. Because look, United have lacked, not had a proper number nine for a long, long time. Maybe dating back to Zlatan Ibrahimovic, we've had Cavani, obviously. Ronaldo, yeah, but none of them really fit the bill. Dating back a long time. And even when Zlatan Ibrahimovic was in there, he was more of a focal point striker who, you know, he ran around, but he wasn't that kind of energetic presence that I think the modern striker really has to be nowadays. Where I think in the first goal in this game last night, I think the fact that Højlund chases that goalkeeper down, dispossesses him, and at least to a tap in for Garnacho, that we all know Højlund's got that in his locker. And Højlund has gone and said after this game that the big difference, really, or one of the big differences is that he is being told by Amorim to face the goal more and to concentrate on looking forward and concentrate on getting forward and making the difference looking forward rather than looking backwards and trying to bring other people into play. It should be on the rest of the team to feed the striker to get the most out of that striker and add goals to the team. And obviously we saw that through a couple of really good finishes, to be fair, at Haaland. The first goal was brilliant that he scored. Mazraoui's part in that, like, has been praised, and rightly so. Mazraoui has been excellent, honestly. He's been so good for, what, 15 million euros or whatever it is. Like, it's an absolute bargain of a signing. And when Yoro comes in, I'm not sure where he'll fit, really, because I think he's made a decent dent at that right centre-back slot. And maybe that is the position for him that he will rotate. Maybe he'll rotate with Yoro, because obviously Yoro's 18, 19 years old and can't play every single minute. And I've just said that none of these players can play every single minute because there's so many matches to come. Mazraoui has fit in there really well. The way that he carries the ball, the way that he uses his feet, he reads the game really well. He's got excellent output as well. The cross was lovely for Haaland. Haaland's finish was brilliant. And Mazraoui is looking like a real steal from Bayern Munich. But back to Haaland, we know that he's got that in his locker. We saw, like, it was his first goal, I think, on Boxing Day last year, if I remember, against Aston Villa, where he kind of scored a similar goal to that, maybe with his back to goal. And it was a long-awaited, like, first goal that he'd scored in the Premier League, if I remember rightly. He has that in his locker. He's got that instinct to be able to finish chances. He's got good close control. He's got that ability to, that desire and the physicality to chase lost causes. He's got the speed to back it up. He's got the know-how and the knowledge and the positional awareness to be in the right place and the right position. All he needed was that focus and for people to feed in the ball. And the first goal that he scored last night was... if he didn't score that chance, you'd understand. He did really well to dig that out. But the second goal is... I look at the kind of goals that Gyökeres was scoring for Sporting and how so many teams, all of the top teams nowadays, like Manchester City have done it for years and years and years, finding a spot where working the ball to a place where you can get somebody in at the byline for a cutback or a square across the six-yard box for a tap-in for the striker. And United don't do that enough. And we saw in the second game of Amorim's... Actually, that's two in two games, isn't it? Because Ahmad and Rashford combined for it at Ipswich on Sunday, and we've seen that cut back or that square across the box for a goal for the center forward twice in two games. You know, so when Amorim said, "I think you'll see an idea," we are seeing the idea from the very beginning. It's, you know, these instructions, they can be picked up pretty quickly by these players, and I think Højlund will be one of the biggest players to benefit from this. He won't play every game, obviously. He might not be the right fit in every game, but I think this is a player with a hell of a lot of potential and has had a difficult time because the way that he was being used under the previous manager isn't best suited to how he plays football. Højlund has said after the game to TNT Sports that I'm much more familiar with this system and quite used to it because I used to play a 3-4-3 at Atalanta. So, and obviously his former Atalanta is what made United sign him in the first place. So Højlund is, I'm really pleased for him. It's a big deal for him. Scoring goals for strikers is a big deal, obviously. And we've seen that Højlund is able.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
I'm definitely just checking that my mic's working, and it is by the looks of it. But yeah, strikers need to be fed. And what United have seemed to show in their first couple of matches is that the patterns are being put in place for the striker to be fed and to be assisted. And look, if hopefully Højlund can stay fit, and for me, I think he is the automatic first pick in that position. I'm not saying that he's always going to play, but one of United's big priorities should be to get the most out of all their players. And that centre forward is the most valuable place on the pitch, really, because of the amount of goals that will come about from that player and because of the difference that will make in matches to scorelines. So the moment, if United can get that right pretty quick, it'll help. It'll really help, and it'll help take the pressure off. Plenty of other stuff to work on, though. Shout out for Manuel Ugarte, who covered every blade of grass, got the assist for one of Højlund's goals. Just brings that urgency and that energy around the pitch, which is exactly what he was signed for in the first place, even though we've barely seen him up to this point. He knows Amorim's system, obviously. He's fit in really well, and has great energy. It's every time he goes away for international duty, it's obviously a problem. But what we'll see now is a good few months of him, fingers crossed, without injury, being available or suspension. But hopefully he's available, because I think his energy will make a hell of a difference. And that was one of the big things, as I say, that I saw in the Bodø/Glimt game versus the Ipswich game on Sunday. The ability to cover ground. United were doing things like winning the ball back a lot better. They were caught out a couple of times, and I'll come to that in a second. But it's encouraging to see. There were lots of periods in the game where United were pinning the opposition back, and we just don't really see them do that much. So the ability to recycle the ball is really, really important. And I think Ugarte's role in that is really, really important as well. He had Bruno Fernandes next to him, and I think in certain matches that can work. Obviously, you'd be worried to play like a Bruno Ugarte axis in midfield against teams that you might have a little bit more difficulty against. Not that United didn't have difficulty, but against like teams that really could run United close or are favourites to beat United. Like, you know, I got Arsenal next Wednesday, so you'd be a little bit concerned over that, and you might need a little bit more defensive nous or defensive tendency mixed with ability on the ball. So maybe Kobbie Mainoo will come in on Sunday, and we'll get to see him, and we'll get to see him against Arsenal as well. I think that's the best two, but obviously you don't want to rush players back. But Ugarte has been, or was on Wednesday night, really, really positive. We saw Antony and Tyrell Malacia, and I think they are the main ones that I did want to talk about in a little bit, because the wing-back positions do seem a problem. I did want to see Antony in one of the wing-back roles. Mixed results, to be nice about it. But yeah, I'll come back to that in a second. Just wanted to say initially that it was really, really good to see Mason Mount out there, and you can see the difference that Mason Mount makes. We've barely seen it. We really have. And it's been derided as one of the worst transfers the United have, or that any Premier League team has made over the last few years, just because of the fact that Mason Mount's been injured so frequently. But he brings that. I've talked about intensity. He brings that with him. He's smart. He occupies the right positions at the right times. And he's got that little deftness of touch which can unlock doors. And there was a couple of occasions against Bodø/Glimt where we saw that he was able to do that. So it's good to see that Mason Mount is back in, and it was good to see Tyrell Malacia in as well after, what, 550 days of absence. We didn't know where he was for a while. That's all been cleared up now, and obviously he's back, and he got a start at left wing back, which, you know, it was good to see him back, although I think there's definitely a way to go, because I've seen the United were giving up goals, obviously. The first goal was maybe due to the fault of... Well, there was basically a gap between the defence and the midfield, and there was a hell of a strike, to be fair, to equalise. But the second goal that Bodø/Glimt scored shouldn't really have ever come, and I think if we do get... Well, when United's squad is built with more... like players who are physically superior to maybe the ones that we're seeing now in this team, then incidences like that maybe won't happen. But there's been some criticism for Lisandro Martinez and for Mazraoui in the, over the first two goals for stepping out of central defence and being a bit too aggressive and leaving United open. But just a point I wanted to make on this. I mean, there was a whole debate on Sunday about what Johnny Evans did and Amorim said after the Ipswich game, that I wanted Johnny Evans to go press the centre-back, but he didn't. And it led to like a problem for United throughout the game. So when I saw Martinez jump out and maybe he was a little bit late, I thought, well, isn't that an instruction? Isn't that something that we're going to have to get used to seeing, that centre-back jumping out on an opponent to close attacks down? Because I think that's what Amorim wants. The problem for me with that goal was Malacia's lack of sharpness and match fitness and speed in that, and acceleration in that situation. And that's not a... I'm not trying to dig him out there, but I think if you have a fully fit left back who's of the required, you know, fitness and speed and energy in that situation, he doesn't lose the 1-1. And obviously Malacia getting burned and outsped in that situation is what how the goal came about. So sometimes you just got to... And this system specifically is going to be about having players who are able to dominate in physical one-on-one battles. And United are going to be quite a way off that for a little while. But that's why one of the first things that Amorim said was intensity. He wants intensity. He wants athletes. He wants people who can run all day. And that's what his sporting team was famed for. You know, so but I'm not... It's been such a difficult time for Malacia that I'm not going to kind of point fingers, but you know, it's a problem area that maybe United need to sort out. And it just so happened that, look, he's brought back, he needs to get match sharpness back. And it just so happened that there was a situation which led to a one-on-one, which he maybe wasn't ready for. But I do hope that Malacia, the more he plays matches, can get back up to speed. But it was a little bit of concern for me because I remember him being quicker than that. And I hope for his sake that he's able to kind of recuperate that speed and that acceleration as we progress and as he gets more minutes under his belt and into his legs. So yeah, it's great to see him back. It was not a great situation for that goal to come around, but I think we just have to live with this kind of thing. But there we have it. Let's move on to Ruben Amorim himself, because I think, look, if you might have been at the ground last night, I'm not sure of the mix here, like how many of you are match-going fans or how many of you watched this on TV. I was one of the ones that obviously watched it on TV and was met by Robbie Savage trying to point out things that meant that... But we had Danny, I think it was Danny Murphy a week ago saying, oh, I can't see Amorim playing a back three in a year. Oh, this is never going to work, is it? And then Robbie Savage is going, oh, look, they've changed to a back four. I can't believe it. Like, he's given up already. And I was just thinking, God, man, like, what's the fascination? What's the death? There's so much desperation for this just not to work. And it's really, really grinding. It's irritating. It's really, really, frankly, quite annoying. But what it is, it's nice to have. I think they were wrong, by the way. I don't think he's not going to change his philosophy, but it just might appear in different ways. You know, we might have some players switching positions and we might have a different in possession setup, to an out of possession setup. And that's, I think that's what we got in this game. So we saw maybe a switch to a four when out of possession at the back, and like just transitioning into something completely different when on the ball. And that was really encouraging. And look, it's good to see that after years of this is what a trait that I don't like about managers really is being too stubborn to change. And what I like about Amorim and what gives me a little bit of confidence about him is that he's not afraid to look at something that's happening in a match and maybe make a tweak. And the principles are always the same. He's always said this from the very beginning. It doesn't matter if he plays a three or a four or a five at the back. The principles are the same. The energy must be the same. The habits and the patterns are the same, but it just might look a bit different. That doesn't mean that his philosophy is being thrown out the window after one game and an additional half of football. It's really refreshing to see that he's understanding even this quickly, the good parts around his players and some deficiencies that may need to be blocked up or whatever. But Amorim is endearing himself, isn't he? I think it's a good start for him, even though obviously he would prefer to win against Ipswich. But he got a lovely reception from the Old Trafford crowd on Thursday night, and he goes back there on Sunday as well to take on Everton. And it's a game that obviously I think United would be expected to win, especially with Arsenal next up after that. But that's not to say it'll be easy. There's still plenty to work on, and obviously he said in his press conference has now dropped as well ahead of the game, where he said, look, it's difficult and we have to walk through certain phases, and I can't sit the players down. I used to be a player myself, and watching any more than 12 minutes of video, I mean, I switch off, and that's just what happens with players. So it's not like he can just sit them down and make them watch 2-3 hours worth of video, because the concentration will go and you need to just be in action and do this kind of thing for it to actually stick. But we are seeing elements of what he wants to do manifest on the pitch at the moment. And obviously the most important thing, as he said, is to nail that home is results for the buy-in to increase and for the confidence to grow. We need to see these matters and these situations working. And I think we are seeing some things working, even though there's plenty to work on. So that's quite encouraging. And like I say, Everton is next up. And let's hope that especially going into this like run of matches where it's every 3 days and there's a new game, that the players can stay injury-free and that Amorim and his coaches can get through this period right and get through this period with essentially a fully fit team. Because that will stand United in good stead for the remainder of the season. They've climbed up the Europa League table. Remember just a few weeks ago after United had drawn three games or whatever, and everyone was thinking, oh, United are 21st in the Europa League, and it's a disaster. Well, no, they're right back in it now. They're 1 point off the automatic qualification places. So you'd expect, really, you'd think that the longer this goes on and the longer Amorim gets to work with the players, that the better it'll get. Some things will need to change when transfer windows come up and some players will need to come and go. But the important thing is that we are seeing little signs of progress, as I've talked through on today's show so far. So it's encouraging. You can't really get too carried away. Obviously, there's not a lot to get carried away about, but seeing your centre forward score goals is something that you should be seeing. And we're seeing that from Rasmus Højlund. We're seeing a group of players who are willing to learn, and they're getting things wrong at times, but you know, it's really encouraging. I just wanted to finish one thing. Actually, I did want to talk about Antony. Look, he is considered a write-off by many people. I did want to see him start in one of the wing-back roles. It's had mixed response. I came out of that thinking, okay, I don't think that's going to work on the right side, but since there's a problem on the left, I wasn't quite sure why he kept Dalot and Antony on opposite flanks. Actually, I know that they're both considered right-sided players, but if you're looking for a left footer on the left side, why not give Antony a try out that side? And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But as Mike said earlier, like we have to see what players can do in this system. And obviously, if players are getting match minutes and you end up needing to sell them, it's probably going to be a bit easier unless they're having an absolute disaster of a time. So look, maybe at one point we do see Antony switching sides, and maybe, I don't know. But it does seem like that left wing back position is a priority position to fill in. But look, overall, I think it's promising time, but the United start has been relatively mixed. So it's good that we can just look at this and think, okay, I see some good things appearing. I see some good things happening, but not enough yet to make me think that we're going to win the league and win the treble. So, you know, that's positive. Hopefully the progress continues. And the important thing is we are seeing an idea from the very beginning under Ruben Amorim. So that's positive, and it's a positive thing to say. Let's hope the momentum can continue being built up, and let's hope for a win against Everton on Sunday. I'll be back after that game for another Promisland podcast, but I've been Scott Saunders from this podcast. Give me a follow on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok, and I'm on Blue Sky as well. The link is in the description. I try and do this thing where I talk and roll this off my tongue really, really fast. And sorry, sometimes I jumble my words up. But yeah, I really appreciate the support, everyone. Please like the stream or like the video on YouTube if you haven't done so already, and subscribe to the channel as well. Drop a comment. I'd love to know what you think, because really, really important, obviously, that I get to hear from you guys. And I'd love to kind of bring more comments into the show as well. So you can get in touch with me on social media like Mike did earlier, or in the comments, and I'll maybe come back to those comments in future shows. But yeah, please get in touch on there. Please get in touch on social as well. And look, enjoy your weekend. Hopefully United can take 3 points in the Premier League and start climbing up the table, and we can continue the relatively positive start that we've seen under Ruben Amorim. But until next time, everyone, this has been The Promise Line with me, Scott Saunders. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. See you soon.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals, I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save big money
at Menards. Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.